Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio. Starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D. Bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Man, with me, as always, the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Recovering, but I'm okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, we also got my main man, Champ Cree. What's going on, Champ? What's up, man?
There's a lot to talk about, man.
Since we've been gone. I have not talked about professional wrestling in a while, but it's a lot. But let's get this SummerSlam pay-per-view. We saw a new Universal Champion crown, and that's Seth Rollins, who defeated Brock Lesnar. Were you guys surprised that Seth Rollins defeated Brock?
No. And the reason why I say that is because Seth had already been on such a downturn as far as the first run. I kind of feel like they not owed it to him, but owed it to him to kind of give him a reset button with the championship, because I think they just got trigger happy when the news got out about him and Becky being in a relationship, and they kind of tried to make money off of it. And that's why I think they made a mistake. They just went in, you know, they went business first and they tried to make money off of it. And it just didn't work on screen. It didn't. And so Seth's run was pretty much ruined by that. You know, it was like his I'll call it spade a spade. His first Universal title run was garbage. After the match After the match he had with AJ Styles at Money in the Bank, that was it. It just went all downhill from there. It really did. So I think WWE was like, you know what? We got to give this another chance. And now I think we get the Seth Rollins run we were supposed to get since WrestleMania. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Becky Lynch thing was a thing that set his career back, set his title run back, because they didn't have any dance partners as couples. I think I said a couple of weeks on the show when they started this, like, okay, how many couples could you put against Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins to make this thing relevant?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you couldn't do it. You know, what, Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans? I think they did Maria and Mike Bennett one time.
Yeah.
You know, and then when she said she was pregnant. So it wasn't too many dance partners to make it relevant. You had, you know, first we'll talk about a little bit later, Sasha Banks, she wasn't in there. Nia Jackson was in there. Natalya was in there. So you had no other men that were really, that you could throw there that had a feud with Seth Rollins. And then he didn't have any dance partners. Seth didn't, because you didn't want him and Roman to go against each other. You got tired of seeing him and Baron Corbin. So his title run had to be lackluster. And the only other person that you could put the belt on at the time was Brock. And so now, quote unquote, Seth Rollins is the ultimate beast slayer because he's beaten Brock twice this year. You know, I hope the reset button works for him. I really do, because if this title run doesn't work, my God, I don't know what's next for Seth Rollins. Because they want him to be the man, the next in line. He's not next in line.
Well, I'll say that he had a beleaguered run. The matching with Becky didn't go well because here's the thing, right? So Becky is rebellious by nature. That's a whole thing. And she's calling herself the man. Seth was cool, chicks dug him, and, you know, he's the man that's going to burn it down, whatever, whatever. Those two type of personalities, someone's going to have to take a back seat and be the subordinate. And you can't do it to Becky.
Yep.
Can't do it to Becky, because that would kill her everything. And there's no reset after that, you know? You did it to Seth. You temporarily damaged, you know, his brand and how people were receptive to him. And it's so funny, like, subconsciously, everyone just kind of, like, tuned him out and turned him off, because there's a natural dynamic that we respond to, you know, in terms of masculinity, machismo, heroes, baby faces, heels, etc. in this platform of professional wrestling. So now what they're going to do is, like you said, it's a reset button. Give them another go at it. Keep Becky and her storyline far away from him as possible. And hopefully you can build him back up to where you wanted him to be as that cool baby face. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like a little bit indifferent about it because we have to see where this goes. Y'all know what I'm interested in, and I'm just going to wait till we get there. So, G, go on with the next topic.
But you know, back to the baby face, they gave him a couple of weeks where he was constantly getting beat up. They did a good thing with his SummerSlam. He was getting beat up. He got traditional baby face. He got fans behind him. He had his ribs taped. He had all that. So when he won, it seemed like he actually overcame the baby face, overcame the beast. So he got a little rub there. He got a little bit of love. A little bit of rub there. But the other thing I want to talk about from this SummerSlam, man, and Wizards, you was there. You was in Toronto all weekend. Before we get to the match, how was the buzz about Trish Stratus and her final, quote-unquote, final match in Charlotte?
There wasn't any.
Oh, wow.
Here's the thing. It was never built up, and it was on too short of notice. Nobody was talking about it. Like, for real, nobody was talking about it.
But this is everybody's dream match. This is a match everybody wanted to see. Charlotte Flair versus Trish
Stratus. It wasn't built correctly. We literally got that 2 weeks before the pay-per-view. That should have had months of build, months. That was almost like, I'll put it this way. I feel like that was a combination of we got to get Charlotte on the card and Trish approaching them saying, hey, I want to wrestle on the show in Canada. I really think that's what that was. I think had it been properly built for months now, like if this had been built since almost pretty much after WrestleMania almost, if it had the culmination of this is the big, you know, showdown, you know, the
generational leaders clash or something like that.
Yeah.
The best of their eras.
Best of the era, pretty much. It was to the point where, and you know, it didn't help that Trish said this was absolutely going to be her last match. So then at that point, you knew she was losing. I mean.
Yeah, when she said she knew she was going to take the L because most, and maybe you can help me out. I haven't known anyone who actually won, who said it was their last match that actually won.
Yeah, I know somebody. We're talking about her right now, Trish. She beat Mickie James in her original retirement match. Back in 2006.
Well, I knew
not Mickie James. Not Mickie James. I'm sorry. She beat Lita. I'm sorry. In Toronto.
That's why you do it.
Yeah, she, you know, with the sharpshooter, she became the 7-time women's champion in her retirement match. So she got sent off with her, and she said that was going to be her retirement. And she got sent off with a win. And I always thought, even though, I mean, it's okay to come back after your retirement. You do whatever. But
no, it ain't. No, it's not.
But as far as her saying that was her retirement match and she got sent off the way she wanted to, I just felt like this one was very, she got a nice pop when she came out, but it was like, okay, Toronto, yay. All right. And speaking of that, Edge got a huge pop, and that was a nice treat. See, this is why, once again, and I know y'all get on me. Well, not y'all, more so probably Champ Creed. This is why you're not fashionably late and miss the pre-show, because you miss stuff like that. So everybody always wonders why I want to be there early, why I want to see everything. This is why. I want to see everything.
You know, I'm never late because I'm rolling with you.
Yeah, I know. I know you're not. So you got Edge. And, you know, I saw this in a couple of places. I don't know how true it is. But, you know, everybody, when they saw the spear, you're like, whoa, Edge pulled off a spear? But what I've heard is that WWE actually has cleared him, but he's not coming back. But
no.
I heard he was actually cleared to come back.
Yeah.
He wanted
to. I think I was telling somebody when we was watching it, he's like, yo, Edge did a spear. I'm like, yeah, well, he had to be cleared from WWE. And I went back to that Monday night reunion where there was a lot of guys mm-hmm. who were not cleared by WWE and they couldn't even step foot in the ring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if Edge is doing a spear, WWE has cleared him, medical doctors have checked him out, and his neck must be good. But at the same time, I can't see him coming back to a full. There's nothing for him left for him to do. It's like he has no – I want to put it this – he has no friends on that roster or people that he really grew up with or dealt with on that roster, if you come to think about it.
Yeah, no, nobody's except Taker. He's not even really on the roster. So
right.
It's like, Cena's part-time.
Brock can do whatever.
Yeah, and Edge, what was that, 2011?
2011.
So that means there's, I mean, Orton. I mean, I'm just thinking of people who were even there at this point. Orton,
Miz.
Kofi, Miz. I mean, there's very few, but no, you're absolutely right. There's very few that are there when he was there that are, like, active. So, now Daniel Bryan. Sheamus, just thinking of people off the top of my head. But it's like.
And we don't even know what Sheamus' status is, so.
Yeah, that's one that's kind of lingering, to be honest. We really don't.
He may silently be done. So, I mean, it's just those type of things where Edge, it was good to see him in Toronto. It was good to see that he did it. I don't need to see him every day. Like I said, I'm one of those guys, when you say you retired, be retired. I don't need to see one more match. I really don't.
Nah, well, you already know how I feel about that because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You done, I mean, it's good for you to be on TV. I don't need to see one more match once you've been gone for 10 years, like even with The Rock, I don't need to see The Rock do one more match. I really don't.
No.
And what match could you actually give The Rock that people want to see? I'm only thinking one. That's the only one. In that case, will Rock Ego let him go over, or will he let Roman go over?
Well, I'll put it this way. Okay, I won't. It's not really a reach. There are a couple of matches. You can do Rock and Roman. You can do Rock and Randy as well. And I'm talking about Randy Orton now. See, because when Rock left the first time, Randy was really just coming in. You do Rock and Randy now, it's a different story. And the other one is Rock and Brock again, because we only got that one time. So that,
but Rock was on his way out the door, though.
Yeah, Rock was on his way to Hollywood, yeah. So, realistically, you could do Rock and Brock. Rock and Brock, Rock and Roman Reigns, and Rock and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Those are the only people I could see where I'd say, okay, I'm definitely on board with this. Other than that, I'm good. I don't have to see him again.
Other noteworthy thing from this year's SummerSlam that I want to talk about is the interest of the Fiend and the Fiend defeating Finn Balor. You was there again. What do you think about the interest? Did you have a chance to watch it back or give me?
Oh yeah, no. I recorded it from when I was there.
Just thoughts on the Fiend interest. And Champ, I know you got a thought on this as well. Your thoughts on the Fiend entrance.
I thought it was done very well, as long as they don't overexpose it. I think it was done very well. I had to watch it back on TV to see that the lantern was his head. I thought that was a cool touch. One thing that I noticed that was pretty cool that, you know, when it was dark, when the music first came on and he was kind of coming out, you know, people were still kind of in awe. And when the music hit with the lyrics of his old song, that's when people really popped in the arena.
Remix.
And yeah, it was a remix, exactly. And then as soon as that happened, literally you heard everybody's like, oh, shoot, this is old music, but it's like a remix. And then literally at that instant, that's when all the flashlights came on. Because there weren't really any on in the arena until the lyrics hit to the song. It was his old song. And people in the familiarity kicked in, and everybody started putting the firefly, the flashlights out.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a pretty cool moment, too, because it didn't come off on TV, but I know on my video I could hear it to where fans were like, oh, it's low music. So that was pretty cool. But no, very well done. I thought it was very well done. It lived up to the hype and the wait. So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, when we first saw the Firefly Funhouse ad promos, we were entertained and we were like, what's going on? And like the only point where I kind of was like left scratching my head was when he had the Muscle Man dance part.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that one, I was like, okay, that's a little bit way out there for my taste, but you know, it is what it is. You know, good things come to those who wait. And I think we waited long enough and they picked the perfect foil for him to come back against with Finn. I watched the intro and I cannot remember the last time I heard a crowd give the holy shit chant for entrance. I can't remember. Where can you remember the last time? Wasn't it for Finn at Mania,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah, well, I think for it's been for Finn at Mania. It's been for they've done it for Taker. Like,
yeah,
when I come back,
that.
They've done it for Taker.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, so I mean, but to your point, it's very few and far between. It's very few and far between.
Yeah, it's very rare.
The Shield, when the Shield reunited,
yeah,
that kind of first time they came back as the Shield for real and come out of the crowd. Yeah, that was another one. That was another one, actually.
Yeah.
That one's forgotten about, too. That was pretty big.
Yeah. And the only other one that I could think about is when Moxley came out at Double or Nothing. That's the only one. You know, when he came out, that happened. But you know, from the way that they set up the production, when the lights go down, overabundance of smoke, the music, you know, I heard it and I was like, okay, I dig the power chords. And then I heard, as soon as I heard the catching flies, like, yo, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's the reaction everybody else had too. I'm glad you noticed it too.
He just killed it. Like, soon as you heard the voice, like, and you caught the lyrics, like, I was like, yo.
See, I'm glad you realized it too, because that was something I hope people caught on to. And I was like, oh, that may not come across, on TV, but I for sure, like I said, in the arena. Everybody was saying, same thing you said. Everybody's like, oh, like, yeah, the familiarity.
Yeah.
Once that kicked in, yeah.
And then when they went to the bridge and the voice changed to another singer in the song, that was creepy. That was very creepy.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, like, I remember when The Undertaker first came, how kids used to cry and they used to be afraid. And I was like, yo, Bray has done something that you very rarely get in this industry. Someone to remix their character, repackage, reinvigorate, whatever you put a RE in front of, you know, and take it to the next level. You know what I mean? And when I say the next level, I don't mean if his original character was a, this is an A+. This is beyond the letter grade, bro. Like, what he did, even with the mask, you know what I mean? Like, that's another, like, he paid attention to every intricate detail of his character like a true artist. And I always say, you know, people got to understand that professional wrestling, it's theater and it's an art form. Well, Bray Wyatt, at this point, he's carved out a space where he's the most dynamic artist at this moment right now that they have, with what he was able to do to capture an audience off the walkout with everything going perfect, like the way he walked in, the lighting, the way he hit the rope. And we know that this is all coming from his head. You know what I mean? And all the production staff had to do was just put the gloss on the top to make it what it came out to be. And, I mean, the money that him and the attention and the fanfare that he's going to get building up to the Demon versus the Fiend with him. Like, I don't even know how you picked the winner of that match. Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, that one's definitely it's very easy to pick. That one goes to Finn. I'm not even. That goes to Finn.
Why would you kill off? Why would you not have Bray win?
Because Bray can afford the loss. The Demon character can't. Just that simple.
But it would have to be a WrestleMania match. I don't.
Yeah.
Anything
oh
else.
Yeah.
It's not any other. It's not any other time besides WrestleMania. It is a WrestleMania match, which goes to my point.
That's 10 minutes of entrances alone. Go ahead.
Yeah. But it goes to my point, though. And, champ, you talked about Bray reinventing himself. He got merch now. He's putting this stuff into the character. You know, he got a big win over Finn Balor on SummerSlam, like kind of a dominant-type win over Finn. Is this new character, the Fiend, WWE champion or Universal Champion material?
You don't need it. He don't need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he doesn't need it.
He don't need it. You know, he's a spectacle all unto himself.
But how long does he become that spectacle? He has to get some big wins because he can't
get.
Yeah. Luke,
you can
he
get
needs
the
some
wins.
Big wins.
He can get the wins.
He can get
wins,
but he don't need the belt.
He can get the wins. He don't need the belt. I 100% agree with Champ Creed. Doesn't need the belt. And the reason why is because I feel like this is one of the few instances you put a belt on somebody and it actually brings them down.
Yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It makes him more human, and you don't want him to be human. You want him to be out of this world or other world. You want him to be otherworldly at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But then it becomes now is a challenge for them,
well,
and the writers. It's dance partners.
No, I mean, yeah, but think about it this way. Other than Taker getting the belt the first time back in 91, Taker went 6 years before getting another WWF championship. He didn't need it. I see the same situation right here with Bray. Like, Bray, I mean, granted, timing and, you know, longevity is totally different now than 30 years ago. But it's pretty much now I see it almost similar, though, is that that character is going to stand on its own. Like I said, similar to the way Taker was way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Taker's character stood on its own, and that, like I said, I know the timing and belt situation, title situation is totally different now than then. But Taker, like I said, Taker went 6 years and was still the number two or three draw, and if not number one in the company, and never was the champion. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and really didn't even get title shots like that. He just didn't need it. He didn't need it. It wasn't, and in fact, realistically, he wasn't given the belt until they, not that they didn't have anybody else, but they had so much other stuff going on that you almost put the belt on Taker to keep him with something to do on the card because you weren't going to put the belt on anybody else. You were, I mean, it sucks with Taker because not that he didn't deserve it, but it was almost like he was a placeholder in 97. Because they were ultimately setting up Shawn and Bret.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But because Taker in 97, he didn't have a bad run, but his championship run was not the main focus of the company.
No.
Austin Bret / USA versus Canada was the focus
of the
summer of 97. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a testament to the writing back then that Taker had a storyline of his own outside of the belt in that it was the debut of Kane, which they spread out over months. That was also featured with him being champion was the storyline with him and Paul Bearer and eventually Kane coming in. Yep. Exactly. And he blackmailed Taker into being, you know, into making Paul Bearer's manager again, and Taker lit his face on fire and all this. Like, there was a lot going on in
97.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in 97. There was a lot.
It was throwing a lot of things at the wall to a 6-2, though, in 97.
No, you know what? Contrary, G-Lo, I don't think they were just throwing stuff at the wall to stick.
I'm not saying stick in a bad way, but they had so many characters and so many storylines.
No.
And that year, they had to put people together, and Matt the King's storyline was good. You had, like they mentioned, Austin. You had Brett.
I get what you were saying. No, I get exactly what you were saying, but it's just that I don't think it was stuff that was on accident. This was stuff they wrote. This was definitely stuff they wrote. I'll tell you what is an accident, and we might skip ahead a little bit, but it is what it is. What an accident was the entire situation right now with Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
The mere fact that he walked around backstage and got caught on camera and everybody saw it, now he's benefiting from what a lot of people probably consider was probably one of the best matches of the weekend with him. And the thing is, and it was so sad to see, because in Toronto, like, everybody was so burnt out that the whole top floor was tarped off. Like, the whole like, it was only the lower level that was available to sit down in.
Right.
And but ultimately, I sat there and nobody got up. Everybody sat there and watched that match. That match was amazing. And you got to to do it, but you got to give Roman credit. Roman put him over.
He did.
Big time. Roman made Buddy Murphy a star that night.
But we knew Buddy could go, and Buddy hadn't been. Think about it. He'd been drafted to SmackDown. What Buddy Murphy did?
Nothing. And like I said, it was all on accident because he happened to be in the shot that they ended up using, and everybody pointed it out. So they had to use him. So they went along with it.
Yep.
But as much as we know Buddy can go, everybody knows Buddy Murphy can go. So, yeah. But you have to come. You got to give Roman credit. You got to. You got to give him that credit that he made, because Buddy can go. But if you don't have anybody with him, if you don't have anybody going with him, then nobody's ever there to see it. You can't have a poo-poo person in there with him. You know what I'm saying?
But that's, like you said, it's a testament to Roman. Because Roman is getting in that role where he can put guys over, as we mentioned earlier, it's not going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that Roman can actually wrestle, you know?
Yep.
You never hear about the name of Roman Reigns burying anybody, or as they do with Cena and Triple H.
Yeah.
You know, throwing a shovel. You never hear about that. You know, he helped Buddy Murphy become a household name, to the point so that I think Buddy Murphy put on Twitter, you know, the whole world knows my name with the praying hands, or the high five, whatever it is right now.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, but even the grateful thing is, remember when we were at, where were we at? When we were at Barclays last time, Corey, and we watched Buddy Murphy's match?
Yeah, yeah.
What event was that?
It had to be SummerSlam. Not SummerSlam, sorry. It was WrestleMania weekend. Sorry.
Yeah, WrestleMania weekend. And we saw Buddy, you know, I guess that would be considered a dark match, if you want to call it that. But we were like, this guy, one, he's bigger than 205. Two, he's athletic as all outdoors. Three, the guy can go. Like, there's never been a doubt about his talent on any roster or any show or whatever.
But even then, though, Champ Creed, a lot of people don't realize this. I mean, I saw it back then, too, but people saw this back in NXT with him when he was with Wesley Blake. People were like, no. I mean, they're a good team, but Buddy is the guy. Like, and you knew it then that Buddy was going to end up being the guy that they really go with. And that's no shade to Wesley Blake, because where Wesley Blake is right now with Forgotten Sons, it's probably the best thing that could have happened to him. So with this point now with Buddy Murphy, Buddy is your guy. Buddy is your throwback to the early to mid 2000s, that he's going to end up being your Chris Benoit-esque Intercontinental or U.S. champion, that they're going to just have him put on fantastic matches with that belt. And he's going to become – that's my prediction. He's going to become synonymous with the Intercontinental or U.S. belt, that you're going to get those quality matches out of him on that.
I was thinking that would be the role for Chad Gable. That's what I was thinking.
You know what, though? And what's funny, Chad Gable and Buddy Murphy are both in the King of the Ring. I don't think they should give the King of the Ring to a guy that's already established. It's got to go to – but what I mean by established, I'm talking about those – your Miz, KO, all that. But somebody like Ricochet or Ali or Buddy Murphy or Chad Gable, or somebody like that, somebody with the NXT ties, pretty much. I mean, Ali was in 205, but same thing. Somebody with those ties, that's who has to win it.
Do we not want to have King Shelton?
You know what?
If you're going to do something with it.
Shelton needs something. I can give you that. He needs something. Dang.
Look, I thought about Shelton first when I saw it, and I'm like, you know what? But you have to do something with it. Only thing I think you can really do with Shelton Benjamin, which would be good right now, is somehow get Shelton and Brock together. Because Shelton used to beat Brock when they actually used to wrestle. So somehow, they got to get Brock. You know, you jumped ahead with it, so we're going to talk about it. The King of the Ring is coming back. The participants is Ali, Andrade, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, which I don't know why Baron Corbin is in the King of the Ring, but nonetheless, I know he's one of the biggest
heels. Now, here's the other thing with the King of the Ring. The King of the Ring winner is somebody that you have to be able to bestow that King gimmick on that can run with it. Corbin is somebody that can run with a King gimmick. It's got to be somebody that can do that.
Wasn't the last King Wade Barrett? Was he the last one?
I think so. He was. Yes, he was the last one.
You know, Baron Corbin could be like that. You got Buddy Murphy, Cedric Alexander, Cesaro, Chad Gable, Drew McIntyre, Elias, The Miz, Kevin Owens, Ricochet, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, and Shelton Benjamin. Can we just go ahead and eliminate Kevin Owens right now?
You can eliminate Kevin Owens. You can eliminate Sami Zayn. You can eliminate Miz. You can eliminate who else is in it? Main roster-wise. Samoa Joe you can get rid of. I'm telling you, it's going to be
– I can see Drew winning.
Yeah, but he don't need it. I mean, well, you know what? Let me take that back. He might need it right now because he's not in a bad purgatory, but he's in a purgatory where he's kind of very limbo right now. He's even right now. He's not over the top in the storyline right now. He's even. Like, you know he's there. He's not forgotten about, but he's there, you know? So you can leave Drew there.
Yeah, and Drew, to me, I think Drew, Ali, especially Ali. Ali, let's be honest. I mean, Ali has had a rough year.
You know, that's funny you said that, because I said if they give it to Ali, that's a thank you, or that's a we didn't forget about you.
Yeah. He had a rough year, and he kind of fell off a little bit. That injury, he has never recovered from the injury. And I know he's a humble guy, and Kofi's doing great as a good title run. And we'll get to that backtrack to that too, but Kofi's doing a great job. Ali, to me, I think Ali has become a second thought.
They're trying to reintegrate him, though. So I'll give them credit for that. And the King of the Ring might be something where they have to give that to him just off of GP.
Yeah, but there'll be some good matches, though. There'll definitely be good matches. Just give your listeners the format of the match. What it'll be is this. You'll have the first round will be the 19th and the 20th. Minnesota, well, this Raw and SmackDown will be the first round. Then you have the quarterfinals. September 9th will be in New York City. The Madison Square Garden show will get the semifinals on Raw and SmackDown. Wizard, you be in the house for that?
Yep.
And the new king will be crowned in Charlotte, North Carolina as the Clash of Champions.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
So that's when you get your new King of the Ring. Will be at the Clash of Champions on September the 15th. So this tournament is going to run about a month. I've always been a big fan of tournaments anyway. I think tournaments are gold. I've liked tournaments, and I like how they go within the WWE, because you can look at a guy and say, okay, who needs this? Chad Gable was another guy who needs it, you know. But you know what name is missing off this list, was it, when I looked at it? Bobby Roode. This will be perfect for Bobby Roode.
What's that in the back? Yo, somebody mute that?
Oh, my fault. Yeah. I'm sorry. That was me.
Yeah. In my mind, the King of the Ring is made for a Bobby Roode.
That he's done literally nothing. Actually, you know who the King of the Ring is made for? My man, Creed's guy, EC3.
Really?
Yep, that's right.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they've given up on him.
I wouldn't be surprised that he'd come back and end up would be in the next 24/7 champion in the next couple of times. I don't think they've given up on him yet. I think he hasn't got the JPG treatment or nothing like that. I think they just don't know what to do with him. And I think they don't have a part for him. He's one of those guys that I would send back to NXT, truth be told. Especially with NXT going to Wednesday night now, going against AEW. EC3 would be one of those guys that I would send back down. Just to beat the roster up a little bit more.
Yeah,
but we also had, we mentioned Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston picks up a win over Randy Orton, but a lot of boos. People didn't like the fact of how Kofi won. They thought Kofi should get a clean win over Randy Orton. It shouldn't have been a DQ.
I think it's coming up. I don't think they wanted Randy to lose. Now that I'm looking back at it, I don't think they wanted Randy to lose on the first time.
Let it be patient. Be patient with it. I think Kofi gets his day. I like Kofi's title run, like where he's going. I think Kofi gets the win at Clash of Champions over Randy Orton, some type of gimmick match. But I think it solidifies Kofi's run after 11 years. And I think I spoke to Champ about this. WWE needs to stop doing this. In my mind, I'm like, okay, Kofi could lose to Randy Orton. I wouldn't be mad if he did. But when they said that Kofi Kingston's 24, we're coming on after Monday, after coming on after SummerSlam, I was like, it is no way in the world Kofi Kingston loses.
Yeah, you kind of knew that.
Yeah, you kind of knew, you know, that once they said the 24, he ain't losing. You know, at least wait till after he wins to announce that you're playing the 24.
You gotta plug the programmer.
Yeah, well, plug the programmer.
Yeah, but I get what he's saying. It's like you're not gonna show that about somebody right after they took an L. Yeah, like just that simple. You're not going to.
Not at all.
They gotta stop premiering that stuff after the pay per view. Just save it for the next night. Y'all got your own network, so y'all could save that for the next night.
I done just watched 4 hours of wrestling, 4.5.
Right.
5 hours, and you want me to watch another hour of a documentary?
Right. Right.
I'm just saying some people. I'm just interested to see their numbers. But we also, SummerSlam was a good show, decent show. But Monday night, we got a big return on Monday night. Sasha Banks returned. The boss herself returns in a great promo. Going against Natalya. Natalya's putting a promo about Jim Neidhart. Sasha Banks comes out with the purple hair, you know, giving Natalya a hug and say, you know, we're praying for your dad. We love him and all that. And then she turns on him. Which I think, Wizard, you said it, or Champ, you might have said that if she returns, she has to become a heel, and she has to do something that makes people talk about it, and she has to beat somebody up that everybody loves, and everybody loves Natalya.
Yeah, that was needed. Like, that's what she had to come back as. She had to come back as a heel. There's no way you bring her back as a face, but especially the way she went out, and generally right now fans aren't dumb. They know how she went out. So you're going to have some fans booing her regardless. Might as well. And right now, it's not even fully defined that she's a heel, because fighting Becky doesn't necessarily make you a heel. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Becky's pretty much at a point where she's fighting faces and heels regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, which helps her case because she, that means you can keep the belt on her longer because she won't run out of dance partners.
Right.
Well, yeah, which, but it's just,
which is what she needed because her title run was stale too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, she got kind of cheesy, to be honest. She got kind of cheesy. And the relationship on air with Seth didn't help. And it's like, it was nice for her to win both belts, but it was like, okay, you pretty much know she's going to lose one. So, and that's the only thing about when they tried to do this double belt thing or something, okay, it was cool Becky won both belts, but at that point, they should have made her pick a brand or something, and the other one just gets, you know, given up.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it was no point in her having two belts. There was just no point.
No, and she suffered. And she suffered from the fact that Ronda left. She suffered from the fact that Nia Jax is gone. Sasha Banks.
Well, the thing with Ronda was that what hurt her was that there was never closure to the original storyline because Charlotte was inserted. Not that it was Charlotte's fault, nor that Charlotte was a bad addition, but there was never closure to, you know, the whole storyline with Becky getting her face punched in and Ronda, you know, Becky made Ronda look like a chump pretty much backstage. She had her sitting there in the arm bar like it was nothing. And I'm like, and to the average casual fan that knows Ronda Rousey, the UFC fighter, they're like, she can't get out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So it was, and I didn't like it because I like Ronda, and I'm like, okay, come on, for real. And as you know, like, well, I said, no knock to Becky either, but it's like Ronda could have got out of that.
Well, speaking of Ronda, she was just added as a recurring character on season 3 of Fox First Responder Drama 911. So she definitely will do some tie-ins with WWE and her position as a, an actress.
She'll be back. I'm counting the days pretty much. She's coming back.
She's gonna be a firefighter.
Okay.
She'll
be back in WWE, and what we'll end up getting, even though the one side. Will be reluctant, but it'll happen. We're going to get the four horsewomen against the four horsewomen. As soon as Marina and Jessamine are pretty much ready, in which you can mask most of that in a tag match, thank goodness. You can mask most of that because they don't have to do much, but we're going to get the 4-on-4. Becky, Sasha, Bailey, Charlotte against the four horsewomen of MMA. We're going to get that.
But I think it's going to take a while.
I would say, I'm not going to say it's going to be immediate, but we're going to get it. We're going to get it. And because that's a money match. It really is. That's a money match. And that's a match people do want to see. And honestly, and people will probably hate me. And knowing me being the wrestling traditionalist that I am, I think you put the four horsewoman in the MMA over. I think that's who you put over in that match.
I think so. I think you put them over. It goes to whenever Shayna Baszler decides to come up, whenever they decide for her to lose the title when it come up, I think you do put the four horsewomen over. I think Ronda goes over. I think Ronda gets the win, whether it's on Becky or whether it's on Charlotte. But I think they do go over. Or even Shayna gets the win.
I think Shayna gets it because Shayna will be the one you could develop new matches with.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, folks, I'm going to have to cut off. I'm going to have to cut out.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up right here, actually. Yeah. Let's wrap it up right here. Let's put a bow on it.
Put a bow on it and put a bow on it until next week. Hey, but over the weekend, what was your best part of the weekend? I know you had a great time in Canada. Your best part of the weekend?
Everything else other weekend. Than the event. Yeah, the whole weekend, pretty much.
Hey, champ, your best part of the weekend and what you're looking forward to in the world of professional wrestling coming forward, coming up?
Well, I'm looking to see how AEW can get some of this pro wrestling shine back because we're, what, 2 weeks away. What's today? Well, we don't want to timestamp the show, but yeah, we're about 2 weeks away from All Out, and like the buzz is not there.
Yeah, it was weird. It seems like the buzz is more on the TV show than the actual pay per view.
Yeah, I thought they would announce the TV show at the pay per view. I didn't know they would have did it so far in advance.
Well, I guess you got to get sales. I mean, granted, it's sold out anyway. It's sold out anyway, but I think you want enough buzz and anticipation. I think you didn't want it to be too close where fans were like, oh, we're not waiting that long for it. But
yeah.
I think they wanted it just enough where it's close. It's close enough where fans won't forget it, but it's far away enough where fans will be salivating for it by the time it comes around.
But, yeah, it is a totally different feel from AEW last year, All In, to
well,
All Out.
It wasn't even AEW last year.
Oh, yeah,
it was just All Out.
Yeah, All In.
This is All Out this year. It was All In.
Yeah.
I mean, but that can change. That can change. Well, no, let me stop that. It will change when CM Punk does his one-on-one interview at StarCast.
Yeah, it will change. I think it will change then. But like you said, there's no buzz right now. So hopefully the buzz will pick up. Maybe WWE is just getting that much of a buzz right now by the product they're putting on.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man.
And AEW is getting complacent. I ain't gonna say complacent, but they don't have the.
Nah,
they're not getting. The
nah, I won't say it's stupid. It's just WWE. They it's a war now, and they've ratcheted it up. They ratchet up. Man.
Yeah.
So,
and what doesn't help is the AEW. Other than the online stuff of being the elite, like they have no. Yeah, there's no television outlet for them right now. So literally,
yeah,
you're not seeing them.
Look, there's no visibility. There's no tie-ins. There's no cross-promotion. And, you know, that was something that I wanted to offer up. Because to be honest with you, like, and this is a conversation for another time, I will say the WWE fan base is more diverse, culturally diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Than the AEW
and
fan
socially
base.
Diverse.
And socially diverse. Culturally and socially diverse. And that's something that, you know, they're going to have to figure out, but they're going to have to pay us for that.
Yeah, because the last little bit, they have the same fan base that AEW has and more. Like, the same fan base that likes AEW also likes WWE, and you have other fan bases in there. So,
Hey, and that's why Wednesday nights in October, it really will be a Wednesday night war.
Yeah.
I might need to go quick coin
that. Glenn, go get that right now. Go put that on the website.
TM. I'm putting it on there right now. TMR.
Take that right now.
We're verbaling it. We're verbally trademarking that right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Go ahead.
Wait, what's it? Take us home.
If you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.